Once in a while, make a public confession for your entertainment. Last Sunday, we heard Ecclesiastes say, vanity of vanities, everything is vanity, and I admitted that I've been accused of vanity. But sometimes that is humbling, as one of those children in the cry room complimented me on my safety glasses that I'm wearing today. So I'm prepared. Today's public confession, I have been known to be a very impatient person at times. This may come as a surprise to you, but I tend to be very efficient. And sometimes I want other things and other people to be as efficient as I am. And so, as it might be the case with you, when I'm driving in the car, somebody's not driving as aggressively as I think they should. When I'm waiting in line, someone's taking their time, or whatever the case may be. And so we have all to work on our patience. And as is true with our country, the wheels of justice turn slowly. At times, it seems like the wheels of faith are barely turning at all, because sometimes we pray for something and we keep on praying and we're praying for it for weeks, months, and years, and still we haven't got our answer. Do we give up, or are we patient? Are we persevering in our prayers, and do we keep trusting in the Lord? Well, that's where the scriptures are leading us today. We're going to deal with them chronologically, because what's talked about in the second reading happened before what's referred to in the first reading. So let's start with the letter to the Hebrews and a discussion of Abraham. He is the one figure in all of human history that can unite the whole world. Why is that? Because not everybody believes in God or Jesus, but the world's three major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all revere Abraham with the same title, a father in faith, because of the great trust in God that he displayed. And we see it referred to in chapter 11 of the letter of the Hebrews in various ways. That when he was 80 years old and the Lord told him, gather your belongings, take your family, and come to a place that I will show you, Abraham didn't ask a lot of questions. He didn't say, who's talking to me? He didn't say, where are you leading me? He didn't say, when will we be back? Will this journey be easy or hard? He simply took his wife Sarah, Lot and Lot's wife, and all their belongings, their servants, their livestock, and off they went, never to come home again. But in the middle of that journey, when Abraham was well into his 80s, God made him another offer. He said, I'll make you a father. Well, this seemed very unlikely because, as Hebrews said, Abraham was as one already dead because he was so old. He'd never had a kid. His wife was sterile. There were so many reasons why this shouldn't be able to come true, except due to the faithfulness of he who made the promise. And Abraham continued to put his trust in God, but God didn't tell him when this was going to happen, just as he hadn't explained how long their journey would be. Would Abraham still have trusted in the Lord if he knew that it was going to take more than 20 years for that prayer to be answered, that he would be over 100 years old before his wife finally bore a son? And yet God is faithful. He keeps his promises, and he rewards patience and perseverance. And so Abraham plodded ahead through the desert, and God renewed his covenant with him and said, I'll make your descendants as numerous as the sky or the sands on the seashore. And then finally they have Isaac. Yet Abraham's faith was only to be tested again because the Lord said, I want you to take that child I gave you, and I want you to offer him to me as a sacrifice. That seems like a pretty steep price to pay for trusting in the Lord. Abraham and Sarah loved Isaac more than their own life, and he was their only link to living on through future generations. And if God takes their son, what else do they have? But as a sign of Abraham's total abandonment to God, total trust in God's will, if God who gave him Isaac wants Isaac back, Abraham's not going to deny God even that, truly living up to that title, a father in faith. Abraham was able to do this only because of two things. First, he realizes that Isaac belonged more to God than to him. Abraham understood everything comes from God, none of it's ours. Everything belongs to God and should be used even in sacrifice to give God glory, honor, and praise. He loved God even more than he loved his own son. But the second thing he realizes was the last sentence in the reading today. Abraham reasoned that his son would live on and that they would meet again. It was 2,000 years before the coming of the Christ, but Abraham already believed that God, who is the giver of life, could take it and give it again. He believed in a resurrection millennia before Jesus would open the gates of heaven. And that's why he trusted in the Lord. If I'm parted from my son, it will only be for a time. We will meet again in the promised land of heaven, where Hebrews said, whose architect and maker is God himself. And thus they went up on top of Mount Moriah with the father's son, Isaac, carrying the wood for the sacrifice, just as Jesus, centuries later, would carry the wood up on top of Calvary. But seeing that Abraham would not deny him anything, there was a stay of execution. God did not require the sacrifice after all, and he realized he'd made the right choice. Abraham was the perfect one to be the father of the nations because of his total trust in God and how patient he was with whatever God asked of him. That's Abraham. That's the second reading. Now when we look at patience from the perspective of the first reading, the Book of Wisdom, that's written two centuries before the birth of Jesus. And we find all throughout the Book of Wisdom hope of heaven. Even before there's a Savior, they had heard so many prophecies about the coming of a Messiah that would bring them to the promised land of heaven. Well, that was something that sustained God's chosen people during some very dark times in their history. The first reading is taking place, referring to events that occurred about 1,100 years before the birth of Jesus. And it's reflecting on the Hebrews, who at that point were slaves in Egypt, who had been promised again and again that God would set them free, but they were not told when it would happen. Their faith was certainly being tested. They were welcomed into Egypt as friends during a famine in their land. This was time of the sons of Jacob, who is Israel. Joseph and then his 11 other brothers had to go into Egypt to forage for food and find new dwellings because their land had become uninhabitable. And yet the covenant went with them. So even though they were strangers in a strange land, Abraham's promise was coming through. Almost 1,000 years later, your descendants would be numerous as the stars of the sky. So soon the Hebrews were outnumbering the Egyptians in Egypt. And Pharaoh Ramses II, he had a grave concern. When they outnumber us, they're going to turn on us. And so he beat them to the punch. He had them slaves. Enslaved to his will. You look at the great pyramids of Giza or the Sphinx. Those are wonders of technology, but they were built by the slaves of God's chosen people. Well, during that time, people began to hope in God. You heard our prayer. You said you would set us free. When's that going to happen? Little could they have known that their period of slavery would last for 430 years. Generations of Israelites passed away, and still God hadn't answered that prayer. If there weren't some in Israel who would be willing to continue to trust in the Lord, even if it took forever for those prayers to be answered, then surely they would have lost all faith and all hope. Why does it take so long for God to answer their prayers? Why does it take so long for God to answer our prayers? I think there's one sentence in the New Testament that might have an answer to that, and it is St. Peter. It's in his second letter in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 8, when he says, "For God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. God exists outside of time and eternity. We think a two-hour movie is long. God has existed for millennia. We think we've prayed for something long and hard when we prayed for it for 1 week. Little could we imagine doing it for 1 month, or waiting like Abraham for 20 years, or the Hebrew slaves for 430 years. But all of that's a pinprick as far as God is concerned, because he's dealing in the intense immensity of eternity. And so we entrust ourselves completely to him as Abraham did, and faith is always rewarded. And we need to place our trust in him because God sent his son to be our only hope, our only way out, because this world and everything in it, including you and me, is passing away. And Jesus reminds us twice in the gospel today, we know not when that is going to happen. So we have to follow his advice to be patient, to persevere in our faith, but also to prepare for when our prayer is answered, that Christ will come again to take us to himself. And when he does, we don't want to be found like those servants in the parable today who said the master is delayed in coming, so let's beat each other up and let's just get drunk. Instead, always and everywhere, striving to live in right relationship with God and with one another, we'll be ready when he gets here, whether it's today, tonight, tomorrow, 10 years from now, or something that only our children's children will see. That's faith, as Hebrews defined it for us in the second reading. Faith is the realization of things hoped for and the knowledge of things not seen. It's not based in things we can prove. That's not faith at all. That's fact. But this isn't mythology. It's mystery. And so we can learn from these scriptures in our own human experience that those who wait in the Lord will never be disappointed. So whether we prayed for something for a day, for a week, for a month, for a year, God who exists in eternity has heard that prayer. He is answering that prayer. We may not know when, we may not know how, but faith means we don't need to know that to believe that our prayers will be answered.